These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity and time to be in your house this morning. We pray that you'd have your will and your way, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct every thought, every word. Lord, I pray that we be not distracted by anything, Lord, outside of our own hearts and this message, this sermon, this service today. And Father, we would take in the precious Word of God, that we would apply it into our hearts, Lord, in a way that we can better serve you, that we would be influenced by God himself, so that we may be able to influence those without. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we give great praise and wonder this morning to the soul that was saved on Friday evening, Father. We pray that you'd continue to bless that family. And Lord, I ask of you today that if you will, open up an opportunity for those in their family, Father, to come to know you as Lord and Savior as well. So, Father, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for your long standing this morning. I ask you to be seated if you will. So I do appreciate, again, the standing that you guys do, both for the reading of the Scripture. We do want to honor the reading of the Word of God by standing in such manner. Beloved, today we're going to move to conclude with our topic of influence. Now, I'll do everything that I can that's in my power to finish this message today. But again, I want to make sure that we yield over to the Lord and allow Him to have His free will and His free reign this morning in our life. And so if it takes us 2 weeks to finish on this particular message, then that's just the way it is. So be it. So as we move to conclude with our topic, I want to reinforce one last time the definition of the word influence. Influence is defined as the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. Guys, we've looked on how we are influenced by our relationship with the Father over the past several weeks, and how our relationship with the Heavenly Father is the answer to our fear. We saw that in John chapter 14. It settles our fear through the understanding that we have a place, we have a promise, we have power from on high, and we have prayer. Beloved, we've looked at how we are influenced by our relationship with the Son of God, as it is the answer to our fruit in this world today, knowing that He is our friend who desires us to have full joy. Beloved, we've looked at how we are influenced in our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. The last 2 weeks we covered that, and how it is the answer, or how it addresses our faith. And it is through Him that we have power in this world. We have strength and ability to win people to Jesus Christ by His presence when we grant Him prevalence in our life. So this being the final chapter, or the final installment of having a mindset of influence in this life, we need to understand that it is this influence that enables us to strive for the excellency through the habitual living for Christ and the overcoming of temptation to simply quit in the Christian race. Guys, having such a position in this life and having an influence in our world today, we need to understand it's influenced by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, we can address the position that we have in our influence concerning our faithfulness. We've spoken about faith, we've spoken about fruit, we've spoken about fear, but today we want to talk about our faithfulness to the Lord. Beloved, Paul was a faithful man of God. He had an influence to the churches that he established, and thus he had an influence to every. He impacted the entire world. As a matter of fact, it was earmarked of him and his people that those who have turned the world upside down have now come hither. Can you imagine having the reputation at work or in the community or in the city or at the grocery store or in the village or wherever it may be, those that have turned the world upside down, meaning they've turned it right side up for God, have come now hither. Beloved, in John chapter 17, we draw great understanding of how our faithfulness is achieved in this world today. Our faithfulness is dependent upon our relationship with God in the midst of prayer. Look there in John chapter 17 once again with me, and we'll pick up where we left off. The Bible says, we finished off in verse 3, and the Bible says in verse 4, we'll read down to verse 9, but Jesus says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words of which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Watch this. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast, here's this word again, given me, for they are thine. Beloved, the opening text this morning, it shows to us the sweet communion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the midst of prayer. And the key to prayer is more than just speaking, but rather prayer in which renders faithfulness through the act of gratitude. That's the key this morning. You can have all the prayer time that you want in this life. You can spend hours upon hours upon hours upon your knees. You can come into this sanctuary here and get upon the big bench, as we know it to be called, and come down here, and you can pray for days on end. But if you're praying without the spirit of gratitude today, your prayers are but minuscule. I want you to think about it like this. When do we typically say thank you to someone? Typically, you and I, or usually we will say thank you after something is given to us or done for us. In the verses that we've just read, we find that the word given or gave us is in the verses that we just read in some form 9 times. And that's just in our text verses. As a matter of fact, we find it 13 times in chapter 17. We find the word world mentioned 19 times in only 14 verses in John chapter 17. There's a correlation between those two, between the world and those that were given to Jesus Christ by God the Father in heaven. You know what that tells me today? It tells me that proper prayer is performed with a thankful heart for the world. A thankful heart for those in our life. A thankful heart for those that we've been given opportunity to be a testimony thereunto, or those who have had influence upon us. In other words, beloved, if we're going to be an influence to the world today, we're going to be an influence starting through and by prayer. Beloved, if we're going to be an influence to the world today through prayer, we must have a heart that is grateful for what the Lord has done for us and what He will do for us, as well as what He will do and has done for those around us. Beloved, we're going to have to be faithful. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot have proper biblical prayer without a thankful heart out of gratitude. Beloved, within the pages of the eternal word, we're given a format to follow on how to pray. People come to me all the time. They ask me, well, preacher, how do you pray? Do you have any written prayers? We find that we know certain institutions have written books of prayers. And they've written that if you pray these prayers, and if you follow this prayer, and you pray unto this person, and unto this icon, and all of that, let me just give it in good biblical Greek terms, that's just hogwash, amen. That's, as Pastor Ellis would say, the Greek word for that is baloney, amen. That's what it is. There ain't no written prayer that you got to follow today to get your prayers into heaven. You got to be saved, born again in the blood of Christ. That's what it is. That's what makes you a royal priesthood. And that's what gives you access into the holies. Amen. What words you choose to use matters nothing if it's not done with a grateful heart. Praise the Lord. But we've been given a format to follow. I don't have these on the screen, but I'm going to ask you just to write them down, if you will. But the part of our format of prayer is to the Father, number one. You hear when I pray, I address the Heavenly Father, because that's who I'm praying to. That's what we're commanded to. Matthew 6:9 says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples how to pray. That's not the Lord's Prayer. Those of you that have played any organized sport, you probably know that we would always come together and we would pray what they would say, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. We would, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, said on and on. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That's known as the model prayer, amen. We're to pray to the Father. We're to pray through the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. I hear these people say, well, there's a heavenly language. There's a heavenly language, and that's those utters and groanings. The Bible tells me that they can't be uttered. The groanings and the language that the Holy Spirit of God uses from our heart, from our mind, from our soul, to the Father in the midst of our prayer, making intercessions for us, you can't repeat those prayers because you don't even know what they are. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it and how we need it. He knows where we need it. So we're given a format to follow. We pray to the Father through the Holy Spirit of God, and we do so in the name of Jesus Christ. John 14:13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, he says, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Beloved, troubles are going to come in our life. We're not always going to be hitting on all cylinders, as one would say. Sometimes life is going to be dreary. Sometimes life is going to be dry. But our faithfulness is determined by the diligence of our prayer life to God. Beloved, our prayer life becomes the linchpin, if you will. You know, in this bi-monthly's prayer bulletin for us that we use on Wednesday night, I put a picture of a linchpin on there. I put that there on purpose, I did. Our prayer life becomes the linchpin to our influence in this life. It is the caveat to our faithfulness. Without this prayer life, we cannot be faithful unto God or to others. You may be sitting here for the last several weeks and wondering why you aren't an influence to those that are around you. You may be sitting there questioning yourself and saying, how come I can't have an influence to those around me? Maybe you have fear and have become fruitless and maybe weak in faith. I don't know, but maybe that's happened in your life today. And if that's so, let me ask you this question. How is your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Beloved, you can have a Maserati or a Lamborghini or a Ferrari sat outside your house today, and it can be a beautiful thing to look at. It can have one of the strongest engines in all the world, but if there's no fuel in that car, it's going absolutely nowhere. Beloved, I'm here to tell you, your faith, your fear, and your fruit is all going to be dependent upon your faithfulness in prayer. The bottom line is this, if you're being influenced by the world more than God today, it's because your prayer life isn't what it should be. It's that simple this morning. I didn't say it was easy. But I will say this morning, it is simple. It's in moments and dependence upon our prayer life in which enables our faithfulness, because prayer, and point number one, prayer is the result of being obedient. Prayer is the result of being obedient. Look there in verses 4 through 6 with me in our scriptures here this morning in John chapter 17. Chapter 17 verse 4 says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 6 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. They have kept thy word. My friend, we find the Lord glorifying the Father and the Father the Son all in and through obedience. The people of the world that he gave them, they have kept thy word. We find that Jesus Christ was given these people and he kept them and tended to them. They were God's people because he owns everything, and he owns all the hills and the cattle thereon. He owns it all. It's all his. And the Lord was obedient to him. This is where discipline comes into play. I believe in our life today that there's too many people in our world who are simply just undisciplined people. I just believe that to be true. I believe when some difficulties come into a person's life, they quit. Doesn't matter what it is, something small, big, large, whatever, medium size, they'll just quit because of undiscipline. Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Discipline doesn't have to be a negative thing. It does not have to be a negative subject. As a matter of fact, I believe that discipline is quite positive, if you want to know the truth. It is, in a nutshell, doing the things you don't want to do but need to do for success, and not doing the things you want to do which will hinder success. That is discipline today. It's not rocket science. It's simply not doing the things that your body wants to do. that's going to keep you from being successful and doing the things that you may not want to do. Amen. They're going to provide success in your life. That's discipline today. You say, preacher, do you always want to pray? No. No, I don't. And neither do you. You say, preacher, do you always want to witness? Nope. There's days when I don't want to talk to one soul, period. There are days when I don't even want to talk at all. There's days that I don't want to answer the phone. I don't want to answer a text message. There are days when if I could crawl up inside of a dark hole and bury myself there, I would do it. Amen. But it's discipline that keeps me from doing those things. It's the willingness to see a soul change for eternity that keeps me from tending to my own wants, not needs. Beloved, the flesh is weak. And you know what? We know this. Jesus Christ knew that. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Lord knew that the most difficult part of the Christian life was going to be prayer. And there are times, like I said, I don't want to pray. There are days when I'm weary. There are nights when I'm ready for bed and I'm just ready to go to sleep. But it is then when I remember my children, I remember my wife, my parents, the other church members, our youth, other churches, our ministries, people that I come in contact with. It's those times that I remember those things in this world. As Christ said, those that thou hast given me. So in order to be faithful, we must simply be obedient. In 1999, John F. Kennedy flew a small plane. Flew a small plane from New York City to his family home, his family's home in Massachusetts. He was going for a wedding. On board was his wife Carolyn and her sister. Now Kennedy was a licensed pilot. Everybody knew that, but he had not been approved yet for instrument flight, which means only using instruments to navigate. And so when they begin to take off, their takeoff was delayed until after dark. And if you have not been cleared to fly with instruments only, you're not supposed to be flying after dark. Kennedy should have waited for daylight, or he should have sought a more experienced pilot to help. But he took off anyway. The plane never reached its destination, and all three passengers were killed in that plane crash. Investigators determined that the crash was likely caused by disorientation from flying over open water at night without any landmarks or visible horizon. Kennedy's lack of experience may well have led him to thrust what he thought he was seeing on his instrument panel as a horizon, but ended up being the open sea. He assumed the instruments was telling him one thing, when in fact they were telling him something else. And beloved, all of us face temptations in this life to walk according to the way we want to. We're all tempted to walk according to a way that we feel would be right, or we think would be right, or is our opinion, or what we want to do. But at the end of the day, it's obedience and adherence to the Word of God, which is going to render the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our life. That, my friend, is what's going to bring faithfulness in your life. So secondly, we find today, not only is our faithfulness answered in our prayer relationship with the Lord by being obedient, but we're reminded of our ownership. Look in verses 7 through 9, if you will, with me, please. The Bible says here in the rest of our text, it says, Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didest send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. My friend, we need to never forget that we are not our own. We don't own our time. We don't own our treasure. We don't own this tabernacle, for it is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've all been given a life on this earth that is not our own, but it is the Lord's. Therefore, communication with the Lord should take precedence in our life. Again, prayer is the linchpin to our faithfulness. As we are obedient in prayer, we submit ourselves to the true ownership of our own selves. F.B. Meyer was crossing the Atlantic one time, and he was preaching to the first class passengers. And at the captain's request, he spoke on this title, Answered Prayer. There was an agnostic in the crowd, like there typically would be in public. And he was present at the service, and he was asked by his friends, he says, what do you think of Dr. Meyer's sermon? He said, I don't believe a word of it. That afternoon, Meyer went to speak to the fourth class passengers. Many of the listeners at his morning address went along, including this agnostic, who claimed that he just wanted to come hear what the babbler had to say. Before starting the service, this agnostic put two oranges in his pocket. As he passed by an elderly woman sitting in her desk chair, fast asleep, her hands were stretched out open like this. And in the spirit of humor, just to be funny, the agnostic took two oranges out of his pocket and he placed them in her hands. So after the service was over with and the agnostic was leaving, he passed by this elderly lady once again. And he saw her happily eating pieces of this orange. So he stopped and he said, well, you sure seem quite happy. You seem to be enjoying those oranges. She said, yes, sir. My father's very good to me. He looked at her strangely. He says, your father? Surely your father can't still be alive. She said, praise God. He's very much alive. He said, what do you mean? She explained, I tell you what, sir, I have been seasick for many days now. And I was sat here asking my God somehow to send me an orange. And I suppose in the midst of prayer, I fell asleep. But when I awoke, I found that he had not only given me one orange, but he gave me two. The agnostic sat there and was speechless. And later on in that trip was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord uses many things in our life to perform his will. We as believers just must be obedient and recognize the ownership of who and what he is. Beloved, the Lord has blessed us and he meets our needs in ways that many times we don't even realize. You know, what I hope during this series over this past year in reality, but especially this one on influence, what I hope and I pray that you've asked the Lord to open up a door into someone's life through you. I hope and pray that the Lord has revealed to you not only his power, but his willingness to use you in this life to glorify the Son and the Father. It simply takes obedience. It simply takes the surrounding ourselves with his ownership. And we must think about this time and time again. Look in your Bibles real quick. This is off outline. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. Just turn there hurriedly here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look down in verse 4, if you're familiar passage of Scripture, we've taught on it, but what I want you to take from this is that we must think about it in a way of how God achieves His will through our obedience and us recognizing His ownership. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, the Bible says, what then, or who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, neither he that watereth. But he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You know what a husbandry is this morning? It's defined as a cultivated field or tillage. Guys, we're not our own, beloved. We are bought with a price. We are but a field sown of seed, ready for the crop of the Lord God Almighty. A true farmer, a true husband will tend to his crop. And the Lord wants to see his crop do well. Therefore, he desires to bless his crop that it may be fruitful in this life. But it requires obedience. It requires the surrendering to ownership, and both must be connected by sweet communion and dear prayer, being in conversation with the Lord. Beloved, you'll never have faithfulness in the Christian life today. You'll never be an influence unto those that are around you if you're not faithful in prayer. If you're not willing to be obedient, if you're not willing to recognize true ownership today, that you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. And I'm going to go ahead and say this here this morning to make it crystal clear today. There are people that are in your lives that are not in mine. There are people in my life that's not in yours. And God put them there for a particular reason. And it wasn't for you just to have kicks and giggles with them. It was for you to be a testimony of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. It was for you to be obedient to true faithfulness in God, that seed may be sown and watered and nurtured, and a soul gloriously born again of the blood of Christ. Beloved, thirdly and finally this morning on our faithfulness, into church, to church, with the Lord Jesus Christ, to our families, our faithfulness to our neighbors, faithfulness to our co-workers, it's directly dependent upon our relationship with God in prayer. Again, I say this, it is the linchpin of our influence in this life. And it requires obedience. It requires surrendering to His ownership. But it allows us to overcome. We live in a world today of many defeated people in general. I've never in my life seen suicide at the rate that I see today. I've never seen it this. And maybe it's because we have more outlets and more news coverage and more. I understand that. But we are living in a world today where people are defeated, not only in this life, but they're defeated in their own demeanor. They're living defeated life. And I'm talking about Christians today. I've never seen Christians walk around so defeated in my entire life. And I get it. I understand it. The Christian life in a world filled with hedonism, guys, yes, it is disparaging. It is discouraging. It is depressing. It most certainly is. But my friend, when you're faithful to God and you surrender to His obedience and you surrender to His ownership today, my friend, you can and will and have overcome what this world is throwing at you. Look in verse 2 with me in our chapter today, John 17. The Bible says, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." 1 John chapter 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Beloved, if we are to be honest as humanly possible, if we're to be as honest as we can be, when we look back to our shortcomings, we look back at all of our failures, guys, they all could lock into one common single thread, and that's a failure in prayer. Our prayer life is what enables us to be faithful. Every single time without fail, that if I've backslidden myself upon the Lord, if I've gone back on God's calling, if I've gone back on being faithful to the Lord, be it Bible reading, whatever it may be, witness and servant, anytime you go back out into the world, it's always been linked to one thing, failure in prayer time. We have everything in the world in our churches today, and I don't have an issue with that as long as we have prayer. Ian Bounds said, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer." We want to see revival in the Cunning Valley, do we not? We want to see revival throughout the streets of Aberama. We want to see revival, do we not, throughout South Wales. My God, we want to see revival throughout all the UK and the world today. Amen, amen. Beloved, we'll never see revival. There's not a recorded revival in history today that has ever taken place outside of prayer. Evangelist Gypsy Smith said that was asked what the secret of revival is, and he simply said this. He says, "Go home, take a piece of chalk, and draw a circle around yourself, and then pray, 'Oh Lord, revive everything inside of this circle.'" Revival is going to begin with you. Revival is going to start with you bowing your heart and being obedient in prayer, recognizing the ownership of God, and understanding that you have overcome this. You do not have to be a victim in this world today. We have all we ever need to continue forward and to see victory in our life and the lives of those that are around us. Paul said that we are more than conquerors. John said, you are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ says, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Paul said in the book of Romans, "Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Beloved, the fellowship with God is found in the midst of our time in prayer. And that's where our strength is. That's where our ability is. Our faithfulness to the Lord, for that matter. Everything hinges in our world today during that sweet hour of prayer. Never a man or a woman shall ever regret the time of dear communion with the Lord. For the fruit of their labor is seen in the faithfulness of God Himself. The preparation and influence is found in victory over fear through your relationship with the Father. The purpose of influence is fulfilled in bearing fruit through the relationship with the Son. The power of influence is experienced in furthering our faith through our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. But the promotion of influence today is found in our faithfulness to God through our relationship in prayer. William Cowper, the 18th century English poet, of whom William Wilberforce referred to as his favorite poet, he penned these words saying, "What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. Gives exercise to faith and love. Brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer we cease to find. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. While Moses stood with arms spread wide, success was found on Israel's side. But when through weariness they failed, that moment Amalek prevailed. Have you no words? I'll think again. Words flow apace when you complain, and fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent, to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, 'Hear what the Lord has done for me.'" My friend, if you want to be an influence today in this world, it's going to take you overcoming fear through your relationship with the Father. If you want to be an influence in this world, it's going to take having fruit in this life through your relationship with the Son. If you want to be an influence in this world, it's going to require your faith through the relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. But my friend, if you want to have an influence in those that are around you, and God to have an influence on you, it's going to be established through your faithfulness in your time of prayer, your time in the closet spent with God. It's not about quantity, but it is about quality. My friend, that is the mindset of influence in the world that we've been living. And that is the responsibility that we've been given, blessed with in this world today, to not only see lives change before us, but the eternal destinations altered by the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the influence that we've had on them and God has had on us. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be here today. And Lord, my heart's a bit broken this morning because I know we're human beings and mankind and those that name the name of Christ, where we quite often fail, and it is in during that hour of prayer. Father, we were saved. We were saved and born again in the blood of Christ when the precious word of God was spoken unto us, or when we read it. But it was in the midst of prayer that that connection and communion was made unto you. As we confess the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we ask forgiveness of our sins, and invited you into our hearts and into our lives, thus rendering our eternal life unto our Heavenly Father through the sacrifice of the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I ask of you this morning, if there be one in our midst today that, number one, has never fully and faithfully given their heart over to you, I pray today that there will be nothing that would stand in their way. Not fame, not popularity, not friends, not family, nothing at all. They would fully and faithfully make their confession known and be saved and born again. Father, I pray this morning, dear God, if there be a backslidden Christian within earshot of this message, that, Lord, you would touch their heart in a way, tender it with thy love and compassion, that they, with bended knee upon their heart this morning, would rededicate and surrender their life, their temporal life here unto you, with the goal of not only allowing you to be an influence in their life, but in turn, that they may be an influence in the lives of others. Father, we ask of you today to move amongst your people. They are yours, each and every one of them. Let us understand with a grateful heart, we will bow our hearts and our minds and come before the throne of grace boldly today. That not only our needs, Father, but the heart's desire of God would be seen and known in our life to the praise and to the honor of thy name. And Lord, we ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed today. Before we go to our final hymn, I don't know where you are in your Christian life, and I don't even care if you sing this last song. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, I'm simply going to ask you to take that time. Search out where you may be in your Christian life. I'm not looking around. Every head is bowed and every eyes is closed between you and God this morning. Ask the Lord to do something in you today that maybe He's never done or you've never allowed Him to do. Ask Him to alter every step. Ask Him to give you opportunity in this world, but I beg of you to fall in obedience unto Him. Recognize His ownership and the fact that you have overcome the world, that you're more than conquerors, that we can overcome evil with good. Ask Him to order your every step. You continue to pray as God leads. Preston, you come this morning, if you will. Closing hymn we'll be sang today. You're more than welcome to sing along, more than welcome to stand, but you just follow the Lord's leading today. This is all up to you. It's not me.